Praised be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.
Today's Gospel shows us the contrast between those who believe and those who refuse to believe. The former experience joy, while the latter are troubled. The former can see things in the light of the resurrection, while the latter remain in darkness. Consequently, the former grow in knowledge, while the latter fall deeper and deeper into error, to the point of absurdity. And that certainly seems to be happening in our culture today. The resurrection took place on the day after the Sabbath. As the Sabbath is the seventh day, so the day of the resurrection is the eighth, a day that is, in a way, outside the world's cycle of 7 days. For the resurrection is something which belongs to the world to come, and yet it takes place in history. In the light of the eighth day, the light of the resurrection, the meaning of the scriptures is revealed. On the day of Pentecost, St. Peter explained how the resurrection was foretold in the Old Testament. He cited a series of passages. Today we heard only the explanation of the first one, which is taken from Psalm 16. When David said, "You will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption." Of whom was he speaking? Not of himself, for he had been in the tomb for 1,000 years, and with all due respect to that holy man, it had to be acknowledged that his body had by now suffered corruption. St. Peter, instructed by Christ and enlightened by the Holy Spirit, teaches that David was speaking of the Christ, of the Messiah. But how could he have known about Christ 1,000 years before he was born? St. Peter gives us 2 reasons. The first is that he was a prophet. In fact, all Jews recognized that at least some psalms contained prophecies, such as Psalm 2, which spoke of the Messiah. Furthermore, he knew about the Christ because God had sworn an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants upon his throne, that is, the Messiah, and he had communicated this through the prophet Nathan. So on the basis of the knowledge God gave him in these 2 ways, enlightening him directly and speaking to him through the prophets, David could well know that the Messiah, his descendant, would not remain in the grave, but instead rise again before his body corrupted. Since corruption, decay, was believed to begin by the 4th day, this meant that he would have to rise by the 3rd day, something that later prophecies made explicit. Few people understood the meaning of David's prophecy before it was fulfilled, but as St. Peter and the other apostles can at least bear witness to the fact that it was fulfilled. However, the first witnesses to the resurrection were women. On Sunday morning, the day Christ rose, the women, or some women anyway, some pious women went to the tomb to anoint Jesus' dead body with spices and perfumed oil, and thus honor their beloved teacher. There had not been time to do this before the Sabbath rest. However, when they arrived, they didn't find him. An angel descended from heaven, approached, rolled back the stone that closed the tomb, and sat upon it. He opened the tomb to show that Jesus was no longer in it. Before dawn, he had risen and come out of the closed tomb, just as at his birth he had come out of the closed womb of his virgin mother. The angel said to the women, "I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him." The angel came from heaven, bringing the light of the 8th day, the light of the resurrection. The women, though not fully convinced, obeyed, bringing the message to the disciples. With Peter and John they returned, as we heard yesterday. Then they departed again, and at that point Jesus rewarded the women's faithfulness by appearing to them. The angels' words were confirmed by their encounter with the risen Lord, whose light filled their souls, and so they believed fully and experienced the joy. Their feelings contrasted with those of the soldiers and the leaders of the Jews, who refused to believe. St. Augustine comments, "Such amazing things happened around the tomb that even the soldiers who had been stationed there as guards became witnesses, or they would have been had they been willing to tell the truth. But the avarice that had seduced a disciple who was Christ's companion also captivated the military guard at his tomb. Here we see one of the reasons why people lose the faith or don't accept it in the first place, the lure of the things of the world, especially money. The leaders of the Jews, on the other hand, were blinded by pride and envy. They refused to accept the superiority of Jesus and his teaching. As a result, they spent money to their own harm, as St. Peter Chrysologus observes. When Judas was selling, the Jews bought Christ in order to destroy him. Now they spend money in order to lose themselves, the law, the temple, and their country. What was the story they came up with? You are to say, his disciples came by night and stole him while we were asleep. St. Peter Chrysologus notes their malice. Not content to have slain the Master, they plot how they can ruin the disciples. They pretend that the power of the Master is the crime of the disciples. But the story they invented was not very convincing, as St. Augustine pointed out. If they were asleep, if the guards were asleep, how can they have seen anything? And if they saw nothing, what use are they as witnesses? The Jewish leaders became foolish because they rejected the truth of the resurrection. Fearing the light of the eighth day, they took refuge in the darkness of error and made up an absurd lie. Let us instead choose light and faith. Let us welcome the light of the eighth day, that we may know the joy that has no end. Praise be Jesus and Mary.